You do know that the Bible tells us that the earth actually tremored. Remember? And then the Bible says that the veil that separated humans from the presence of God, it was called the Holy of Holies in the temple. And the veil that separated us, it was like, I think they say it was like 3 feet thick curtain. And the Bible says that it was rent, it was torn from top to bottom. Right? From top to bottom. God was like, I am removing this veil myself that is separating me from my people, from my creation. Now, all of us have a right to step right into the presence of God at any given moment. We no longer have to go through somebody else. The only person we have to go through to get to the Father is Jesus. Right? The Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no one gets to the Father except through Christ. But thank God we've done that. We've called upon the name of Jesus. The Bible says all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's all we got to do is call upon Him. But He ripped that thing from top to bottom. The earth went dark and the earth just began to quake and to shake because of all that was going on. Can you just imagine the look on the devil's face when things began to, he thought he had killed the Lord. He thought he had, this guy that showed up on the scene has been here for 33, has been a thorn in my flesh for 33 years. Has been creating problems for me for 33 years. I finally killed him. He's not breathing. He died on the cross. He's died. He probably didn't even understand what "it is finished" meant. Maybe the devil thought he finally acknowledged my victory. It's finished. I can't do it. I can't beat this guy anymore. Then all of a sudden, I can just imagine the caverns of hell beginning to quake and beginning to shake. As Jesus begins to step, He stepped out of that tomb. Remember, it was empty. He stepped out of that tomb, and I believe He stepped right into hell and says, oh, by the way, those keys of authority, I'll take those back now. Adam shouldn't have gave them to you in the first place. And He took them back. And before He went up to heaven, he spent 40 days on this earth after His resurrection. Spent 40 days on this earth, and He began to tell us, all authority, Matthew 28, all authority has been given unto me. Now you go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus did all that for you. Man, I just laugh when I think of what the devil's face must have looked like. When he would thought he was sitting gloating, thinking he had won, and all of a sudden he realized, oh no, what has happened? What has happened? And all of that, I believe the caverns of hell began to quake and began to shake. And then he began to realize, oh, what have I done? I thought I was killing him. All I did was made many more of him. He thought he had killed the Son of God. And now when Jesus died and was resurrected, he made many more sons of God and daughters of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Well, let's get into this. We know we've had a lot of stuff going on today, but I'm gonna give you a good word today, and man, this is going to set you free. This is going to help you. You're going to enjoy this. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. You're going to enjoy this.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. You can go ahead and be turned into John chapter 11. I'm going to make a few comments and we'll read it. But first of all, let me start off by saying again, happy Resurrection Day. Yeah. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Glory to God. What a day to celebrate. Some people must be think we're weird. It's like, man, you're celebrating the death of your king. No, I'm not celebrating the death of my king. I'm celebrating the resurrection of my king. Yes, this was a Friday was when he died. Isn't it crazy? We call it Good Friday because it was a good day. What? Your king died on Friday? You call it a good day? Oh, it was a good day because it was the beginning of the end of the devil's reign. over humanity. It was the beginning of his end. And glory to God. Now, I mean, just I can imagine the headaches that we give him today when we actually begin to learn about who we are in Christ and learn the authority that we have over him. We spent the last 4 or 5 weeks learning about the fact that we are redeemed. And we're no longer up under the devil's oppression. We no longer have to put up with his garbage. We have been redeemed completely. We were on the auction block of sin, and Jesus came into the earth and bought us out of that with the price of his own blood. And when he bought us out of that, he didn't just buy us off the auction block of sin. He bought us to set us completely and uninhibitedly free. Hallelujah. Free from what? Free from everything that enemy would try to put on our life. We're free from it. I said, we're free. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So happy Resurrection Sunday. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever had moments in your life when it seemed like you were going through some things and then it's like, and you needed some answers and you needed a solution and nothing was happening? So there was a moment when it seemed like nothing was happening. There's no way this thing's going to get turned around. But have you ever experienced that, and then all of a sudden something did happen? All of a sudden you prayed, but you didn't. You seemed like nothing was happening, but then God did do something. You ever been there? If you're here today and you say, I've never had any of those moments, well, that's because you need Jesus in your life. Because Jesus comes in and changes everything. I have a T-shirt that I wear at the gym, and I've gotten plenty of comments on it, and people have talked to me about it. It says, Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. There's always those moments when it seems like, everybody say seems like. It seems like nothing's happening, and then all of a sudden something does happen, right? Amen. There was a time of nothing, and then there was something. Oh, the difference a day can make. Today I want to talk to you. The title of my message is Resurrection Sunday, the day that changed everything. The day that changed everything. I said the day that changed everything. Hallelujah. Before Resurrection Sunday, there was no hope. And then Resurrection Sunday happened, and then there was hope. Amen. Hallelujah. The difference a day can make. Oh, the difference one event in history can make and did make, right? And here's where it comes down to where you're at. Oh, the difference a decision makes. Today you have a decision to make. You say, well, a lot of us in here are believers. I said, today you have a decision to make. Did you know that Resurrection Sunday is not just for people that don't know Christ yet? I said, yet? Yet? Right? There are many people going to be coming into the kingdom of God. We still have not experienced the great last day awakening where there will be millions coming into the kingdom of God. Right? Look at the world around us, everything that's going on. There are millions of people that are already starting to look to God. And that's not even the pinnacle of it. I mean, what a glorious event that's going to be. But there was an event in history that made all the difference in the world. And that event was when Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and then he was resurrected from that tomb. Amen. What a difference a decision will make in your life if you make the right one. And I said this, that Resurrection Sunday is not just for people that don't know Christ yet, because resurrection life is for all of us. You can experience resurrection life as a believer every single day of your life. Every time you go into prayer, you're experiencing resurrection life. Amen. Glory to God. All right, John chapter 11, you there? All right, let's look at this. This is absolutely phenomenal. All right, John chapter 11, and starting in verse 1. John chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This was the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend, because Jesus was very good friends with Lazarus. And so they're like, Lord, your dear friend Lazarus, he's sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness, watch this, will not end in death. He didn't say he wouldn't die. He said it will not end in death. Amen? It will not end in death. How many know the death of a thing is not necessarily the end of a thing? Maybe you've had dreams. You got things in your life that you just something you've always wanted to do, or you were believing God. You know, sometimes it takes you have to stand and believe God for a while for some things. You know, but maybe you've been believing God for something for so long, and it's just like, oh man. And sometimes if we're not careful, we just give up hope. We just, oh well, that opportunity's gone. That desire is history. But the Bible says that death is not the end of a thing. Maybe you've let some dreams and some desires die. But let me tell you something. Today is your day of salvation. Today is a resurrecting day for you to breathe life right back into those things you thought were dead. Because just because it seems like it's dead doesn't mean it has to be dead. Amen. And so here he is. I got to quit preaching on every line. Okay, here we go. Because this is rich and good stuff, man. Okay, but it says here that Lazarus was sick, and he said Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Watch this. So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Now, I'm not going to read the next few verses. You can go back and read that yourself. It's just talking about, hey, they tried to kill you in Judea. Why do you want to go back there? Well, Jesus says, come on, let's go anyway. Verse 11 says, then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will. See, Jesus don't look at death as death. He don't look at death as the end. They're just sleeping. They're just, oh, Lazarus just laid down, took a nap, you know. And then he says here, then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. Remember that. Say, wake him up. Wake him up. All right, you'll remember that in just a minute. Watch this. It says, then the disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will get soon better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus was dead, or had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You know, sometimes the disciples could be a little dense, you know, that just wasn't quite catching everything that he was saying and what he meant. So he just laid it out plain for them. He's dead. He's flatlined, right? And it says, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come and let's go see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his disciples, let's go to and die with Jesus. I mean, you can hear the faith in the disciples, right? I mean, they're like, they already tried to talk him out of going back because they tried to kill him the last time he was there. And Jesus is like, hey, there's 12 hours in a day, 12 hours of sun, and nobody's going to do anything bad during the daytime. Whatever. You know, so anyway, but here's Thomas. He says, okay, let's just go and die with him, you know. He's going to get killed when he goes back there, so let's just go die with him, whatever. We'll be martyrs, whatever. You know, so you're going to see the faith just exuding out of them, right? But anyway, it says, when they arrived in Bethany in verse 17, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Why 4 days? Because see, the Jewish beliefs back then was if Jesus would have shown up on the third day, they believed that the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days, and that would have been easy for Jesus to do. But after 3 days, the spirit has completely departed, and so there's no way anybody could raise this guy back from the dead. And so Jesus waits 4 days. To show that, hell, I don't need the spirit hovering over the body. Not that it really does that, but that's just what they believed. But I don't need you believing that the spirit hovers there. I can do it even if it's not hovering there. Right? So when Jesus arrived in Bethany, he was told he had been in the grave for 4 days. Verse 18, Bethany was only a few miles away down to Jerusalem, and many of the people had came to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Mary got the word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Mary said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died. If only you had been there. So she didn't even believe that all things were possible. It was possible if he would have been there before he died. But she looked at death and goes, that's the end. And how many times have we looked at things in our life and go, well, I guess that's the end of that. I guess I'll never be able to start that business. I guess I'll never be able to enjoy life with my family. I guess I'll never be able to do this, or I will never be able to do that. I will never be able to do that ministry. I've just waited too long. Whatever our excuses are, You know, but Jesus says, I remember a guy when I was in high school, a visiting minister came to a church I was going to, and he says, there is not only hope as long as there is, how did he say it? There is not only hope when there is life in the body, but there is hope as long as there is Jesus. There is hope as long as there is Jesus. So nothing is ever beyond loss. Nothing is ever beyond recovering if we get Jesus in it. Amen. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. All right, where was I? What verse am I on? 20-something. All right, let's go down here. So she said, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Now here he says, he will rise again. Remember, I'm going to go wake him up. So here he goes. He says, he will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everybody else rises at the last day. How many know that there is a rapture coming? There is a rapture coming. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and that we that remain will be gathered up to meet with them in the air. How many know that's going to be an awesome day? And I want to tell you, and I know you've heard for years, oh, you know, we're in the end days. I'm telling you, we're at the very end of the 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 last days. We're at the very end of this thing. So, man, this is not the time to be goofing around. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen. This is just what I believe. I think that it's going to happen before I even meet my last day. I think that's how close we are. But, you know, that's not scripture. The Bible says nobody can dictate. I'm not dictating when it's going to be. That's just what I think. So don't go saying, well, Pastor Ken said he's coming back in the next 40, 50 years. That's not what Pastor Ken said. Pastor Ken just allowed you into his soul to let you know a little thing that I think. All right. All right. Let's look at this. But that's how close we are. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. I know he's going to come. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, verse 25. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. See, and when you look at things in your life that you think are dead, you need to start speaking resurrection life into that thing. Hallelujah. Hope is not all gone. There is hope as long as there is Jesus. And by the way, Jesus ain't going nowhere. Amen. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asked her. All right. Hallelujah. So we got this thing called resurrection life going on here. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now jump down to verse 40. And on your way there, I'll just tell you this. In verse 34, he says, where have you put him? Because they're saying that, you know, the body, that this, that, and if they buried him, he said, where have you put him? And they said, come and see. And then verse 39, he's in there, and he says, roll the stone away. And then Mary is protesting because she says, oh, Lord, please, no, don't do that, because his body is going to smell really, really bad. What did I say, Mary? Martha said it. Okay, and then, but here we are, verse 40. And Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? If you believe. That's a pretty big phrase, isn't it? If you believe. What does that mean? That, well, if you don't believe, you're not going to see the glory and the power of God. But I believe. That's why I get to see the glory and the power of God time and time and time and time again. Amen. In different areas of my life. So they rolled this stone away, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said this out loud for the sake of those people that are standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Hallelujah. I don't think it was just a human shout. I think there was some anointing on that thing, man. I think there was some, we know there was some resurrection life on that Lazarus, come out. And the Bible says that, let's read it. The Bible says, and the dead man came out. His hand, catch this. I got to quit doing this. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. The dead man came out, and his hands and feet were bound. So they had him all wrapped up, and the dead man came out. So when Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come out, Lazarus did what he was told. That body just got up, and apparently it had to float out of the tomb because his feet and hands were bound. He was all wrapped up. They wrapped them completely up. Lazarus didn't go with his toes. I'm coming. Give me about 20 more minutes, Lord. You know, he didn't do all that. The Bible says, and he came forth, and then he tells them, unwrap him. Now, we're talking about the power in resurrection life. When Jesus says do something, they do it. Amen? Isn't that good? All right. And it says, unwrap him and let him go. Right? So what are we talking about? We're talking about there's those moments when it seems like, for 4 days, it seemed like nothing was happening. It seemed like all hope was gone, right? All right, let's look at this. 4 days, nothing seemed to be happening, and then something did happen. Do you think maybe something could happen for you? It may seem like nothing's happening. One day nothing seemed to be happening. The next day, something very powerful happened. One day, all hope seemed to be lost. The next day, a new hope had dawned. Glory to God. Think about this with Jesus. One day, Lazarus was dead, and the next day, he was raised to life. Just because it seems like nothing's happening doesn't mean God's not doing something. Amen. Can you believe him to be doing something? Things are not always as they seem to appear. Things are not always as they seem to appear. Think about this. Go with me to John chapter 20 and we'll look at something. John chapter 20. This is really good. All right. On John chapter 20, just reading 7 verses. It says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away. Now, I want you to think about this, because can you imagine what they were feeling like on Friday when Jesus had breathed his last and died on the cross? They totally believed, and he was, and he is, he is the Messiah. They believed that with all their hearts. Why they didn't believe when he said, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to be raised back to life. They kind of, I think in all the emotions, they kind of forgot about that part, you know, or maybe they just didn't really understood what Jesus was saying, you know. But this is what we do know. He was dead. He died. And now they think that the King of Israel is gone. They think that the Messiah has been killed. Can you imagine the hopelessness? They had spent all this time with Jesus, lock, stock, and barrel, investing everything they have into the fact that he is the Messiah. And now what they see and what seems to them is the Messiah just died. Why? Because he didn't come back and take over the way they thought he was going to do it. Right? So here we are. So he says here, and so they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran, and Mary Magdalene ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And you notice we're reading out of the book of John. John always refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. And there's a few humorous parts in this we'll get to. But anyway, so she ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running. Watch, this is funny. Watch this. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. It's like, what has that got to do with anything? It's like John's writing this book. He's like, I just got to let you know that we were racing and I beat him. I'm telling you, the Bible's funny. There's some really cool stuff in here, man. Yeah. Yeah, typical guys. He's competitive all the way to the end. But anyway, they were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached. And it's funny that the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, as if Jesus didn't love the rest of the disciples. But John's just like pointing out, he really loved me. I mean, I know he loved those, but he really loved me, you know. But anyway, watch this, though, verse 5. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Now, okay, let's talk about some things, then I'm going to show you something. All right? So here we are on Saturday. It seemed that the Messiah was dead. On Saturday, it seemed that that what he had promised was no longer possible. Have you ever found yourself, you're standing on a word or you know, or you just need God to do something and you're hoping he'll do it, but it seems like nothing's happening? Watch this. On Saturday, it seemed that all hope was gone. But then here comes Sunday. Here comes Sunday, and that's the story we're reading about. On Sunday morning, they came and they were checking out the tomb and all this good stuff. But then on Sunday, a new day had dawned. Can you believe for God to have a new day dawn in your life? Come on. A new day had dawned. On Sunday, the promise that seemed dead was now resurrected. Hallelujah. Glory to God. On Sunday, the tomb that had a body in it was empty. Amen. Come on. On Sunday, Jesus was no longer in the tomb, but he was alive and is alive today. Glory to God. In you and me sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Glory to God. Listen, this is something the Lord showed me. He said the tomb was empty so that your life could be full. Jesus had to come out of the tomb so he could be in your life. And when he came out, it was that resurrection life. And the Bible says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in our bodies, dwells in our lives. Amen? Glory to God. Now let's talk about that napkin. I want to talk about that napkin. All right? Verse 7, chapter 20, John chapter 20, verse 7. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up. Everybody say folded up. And lying apart from the other wrappings. Okay, so we got this. So they go into the tomb. Check this out. What picture this. They go into this tomb. Peter gets there. John wasn't going in, but Peter went in. And Peter's always going into everything, man. He's like, man, I don't care, man. I got to check this out for myself. Anyway, so Peter gets in there, and they dedicate a whole verse to the fact. And most people probably wouldn't have even acknowledged this, but they're like, oh. He was in here, he's gone. That's what they would have focused on. But there's significance here. So Peter, John points out that Peter went in there and the napkin that they had over his face for burial was folded up and set to the side away from the other grave clothes. Now, why would they dedicate a verse to that and point that out? Because back then, when a king was sitting at the dinner table, if he just took the cloth, wiped his face, and threw it on his plate, then and stepped away from the table, then the servants knew we can come and we can take all that stuff and get it out of the king's way. But if the king got up, before he got up from the table, he took his cloth and he folded it and laid it neatly right beside his plate and stepped away to go to the bathroom or whatever. The servants come, they saw the folded cloth, they knew, I ain't touching that stuff. Why? Because they knew that the king was coming back. And the reason that cloth was folded is that was Jesus showing us, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And that's the promise, isn't it? He says, I am coming. I'm going to go away, but there is a day that I'm coming back. And I'm telling you, we are fast approaching that day of when he is coming back to take us out of here. Come on, Jesus is coming back. Isn't that the message of Resurrection Sunday? That he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for those who have given their life to him. You know what I would do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved right now, baby, because who knows how much longer this thing's going to go before it gets all wrapped up. Amen? But that's what that folded napkin, it was Jesus letting us know, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. He had folded it and set it away from the other grave. They can do what they want with those. But this right here was telling us he's coming back. And I'm telling you, he is coming back for us. And that's the message of Resurrection Sunday, isn't it? Yeah. Hallelujah.
But he died on a cross and he shed his blood so that we could be redeemed and washed of all sin. In other words, when we accept what Jesus did, it doesn't just do something about the sin we just committed. It actually removes the sin nature from us. He takes out that sin nature and he puts in the nature of God himself in us. That's why when you genuinely out of your heart truly give your life to Christ, and then you go on about your day and you do something that is sin, and you know, just because you're used to doing things, right? See, our spirits are reborn like that, but our minds have to be renewed. That's why you can't get mad at someone that gives their life to Christ and you go out and you see them a day later and they cuss. Or they do something that you know is wrong, that the Bible says is wrong. Don't condemn them. Don't criticize them. Help them. Pray for them. Because their spirit's been reborn, but their mind still has to be renewed. And getting your mind renewed, how many know, it's take time. You don't tell me you don't know how much time it takes. It's been taking some of us years. A lot of us are still working on renewing our mind to some things, right? Amen. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, I'm coming back. Hallelujah. As we saw in the video, Resurrection Life, Resurrection Sunday was a day that changed the world. And I got good news for you. It can change you too. It can change you too. But it really comes down to what? A decision. It's a decision that you have to make for yourself. Believe me, as a pastor, I'd make it for you if I could. Many times over. But I can't make that decision for you. Your husband can't make it for you. Your wife can't make it for you. Your kids, your parents. Nobody can make that decision for you. That's why it is a personal relationship with Jesus. Because it is a personal decision that we have to make. Lord, I'm giving you my life. So listen, if you're here today, you know, Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 tells us, right? It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, openly, everybody say openly declare. Openly declare. That's important. Because without openly declaring Jesus as your Lord, you're not saved. And it actually horrifies me to think of how many churches are filled with people that they've asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life, but they've never really told anybody. It's not asking God to forgive you that saves you. It's repentance. It's changing the way you think. It's saying, I used to live this way, but I've got Jesus in my life now. I'm not going to live that way anymore. Even if you slip and make mistakes in those areas, it's called mind renewal. It's like the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove to the world what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Amen. Isn't that beautiful news? Isn't that just fantastic? But he says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Isn't that wonderful? Well, listen, if you're here today or you're watching online on Facebook Live, and you're like, wow, I've never really made that decision to give Jesus my life. I've never made that decision to openly declare, to believe in my heart that he died on a cross and that God raised him from the dead. I can see now that that's what he did, and I believe that. And so here's the important thing. We're gonna pray a prayer. Everybody, we're gonna pray it all together, right? And if you're sitting there, like, well, I'm already saying, well, do it for somebody else. We're helping other people, okay? It's all right. And so we're gonna pray a prayer here in just a moment. And I believe that people on Facebook will be praying with us. And we're gonna get some people saved, amen. And then I just encourage you, find someone. If you're here today, before you leave, find someone. Tell them what you did. Tell them what you did, amen. Hallelujah. Tell them what you did, because that's what seals the deal. It is by openly declaring that you are saved is what actually makes you saved. Amen. Glory to God. By believing in your heart and openly declaring what Jesus did for you. Amen. So let's just pray all this together. If you're here.